Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine far bright across the eyes of
God. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
There are many issues in which Catholics are dissenting from the bishops and seeing that these are complex moral issues, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's contraception, or whether it's abortion. What I hope one of the impacts on public policy will be is to say, listen, that is not what religious freedom is about. Religious freedom is about no one being oppressed or having their civil rights lost because of individual religious beliefs.
That's Jamie Manson, president of Catholics for Choice, speaking on National Public Radio. Well, it is true that perhaps a majority of Catholics in the United States disagree with their bishop on issues of life or same-sex marriage, but does that change anything? And is this an issue, especially when it comes to the Roman Catholic president of the United States, Joe Biden, of merely disagreeing with this bishop or that bishop? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 26th of January. We're going to be talking with George Weigel of the Ethics and Public Policy Center about the Catholicism of President Joe Biden. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach our weekly Sunday school lesson on the matriarch Ruth. And then Hadley Arkus joins us. We'll talk about making progressives defend their positions. He's architect of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Joining us to talk about the Catholicism of President Joe Biden, George Weigel. He's Distinguished Senior Fellow and William E. Simon Chair in Catholic Studies for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's author of recent columns for First Things titled President Biden and a Catholic Inflection Point and Archbishop Jose Gomez, a Profile in Episcopal Courage. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Nice to be with you, Todd.
Why should Catholics and all Christians be praying for President Biden?
Because he's a brother in Christ who merits our solidarity and prayer.
President Biden is described in the press as a devout Catholic sometimes. What do you make of that description?
I think the president is a man of genuine personal piety, but I think he is a very poorly catechized Catholic. He clearly does not understand, much less accept, the settled teaching of the church on some crucial moral issues, and he manifestly does not understand that that puts him in a position of impaired communion with the church.
National Public Radio recently posted a column online suggesting that President Biden's position on abortion and marriage were in line with the majority of American Catholic laity. It also suggested that his presidency could signal a change in the church's teaching on these issues. Is that possible?
No, that's National Public Radio fantasy land of the first order. I mean, that's complete nonsense. The church doesn't teach on the basis of opinion polls, and anyone who suggests that it does simply doesn't understand what the Catholic Church is.
You say that the election of President Biden creates an inflection point for Catholicism in America. What do you mean by that, George?
Well, we've never had a situation quite like this before. The president is the most visible American in the country. A Catholic president is the most visible Catholic in the country. We now have, as of last Wednesday, as president, a professed Catholic who in his personal piety seems quite sincere, but who facilitates grave moral evils and nonetheless presents himself for Holy Communion. So this is a real inflection point in terms of a challenge to the Eucharistic coherence of the church. Mr. Biden is an incoherent Catholic. An incoherent Catholic should not be presenting themselves for Holy Communion as if they were living in full communion with the Church. That has been the Church's teaching since 1 Corinthians. So there's nothing new about this, and it really has to be emphasized. This is not about politics. This is not about politics at all. This is about the spiritual well-being of Mr. Biden. This is about the integrity and coherence of the Church.
What specifically has President Biden either promised to do or through executive order done already over the next 4 years that should concern Catholics?
Well, the Democratic platform, which is rapidly being implemented by the new administration, I think should concern all great tradition Christians, not just Catholics. On Friday last week, the White House issued a statement on the 48th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, promising to federalize in law the abortion license in Roe, and to use U.S. government funds to make abortion more widely available, both domestically and in U.S. foreign aid programs. That is a big problem. I believe the very day of the inauguration, the president signed an executive order suggesting that anti-biblical gender theory is going to be imposed on public schools across the country through the mechanism of federal aid. You either teach gender theory in your public schools or you don't get federal aid for those schools. This is, if I can quote a Catholic source, this is exactly what Pope Benedict XVI meant by the dictatorship of relativism. It is the imposition of a relativistic morality on all of society through the use of coercive state power, and it is incompatible with democracy.
Why do you say that lay Catholics are going to be important in an effective Catholic public witness?
I think, again, that's true across the Christian world, because as John Paul II wrote in the encyclical Redemptoris Missio, The Mission of the Redeemer, lay Catholics can penetrate the worlds of culture, economics, and politics in which they spend most of their lives in ways that clergy often can't. The Catholic Church over the last 30 years, the living parts of the Catholic Church, have come to embrace what John Paul II called the new evangelization, a concept of the Church in which each of us understands himself or herself to have been baptized into a missionary vocation. We're all missionary disciples, and every place is mission territory. So lay people have a missionary vocation and can be effective witnesses to Christ if they're well-formed and if they have the courage to push back against some pretty fierce cultural headwinds right now.
What responsibility do Catholic bishops in America have when confronted with public officials who oppose the Church's teachings?
Well, again, there's nothing new about this. I mean, 20 years ago, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith addressed this and said, look, what you do is you try to meet with these Catholic public officials, you call them to deeper conversion to Christ, you explain how and why they're living incoherent Catholic lives, and if necessary, you admonish them not to present themselves for Holy Communion until they are living in full communion with the Church.
How confident are you that American bishops will maintain a faithful Catholic witness over against President Biden's agenda?
There are parts of President Biden's agenda that I think many, many bishops are going to find quite agreeable, and others may as well. They're not particularly problematic morally, whatever you think about them as a matter of prudential judgment. But on these crucial life issues, and on things like this imposition of gender theory on the public schools, many, many bishops will resist. Some won't, but many will. And that is exactly what they should be doing.
Tell us about the statement that was issued by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops under the name of Archbishop Jose Gomez.
Well, let's be clear what the statement was. That was a statement by Archbishop Gomez as the president of the Bishops' Conference. It was a respectful and measured statement promising the new president the spiritual support of all Catholics, looking forward to working with him on matters where there can be real agreement and the unity for which Mr. Biden called, but also hitting the crucial points, abortion, euthanasia, gender theory, very, very firmly, and saying these are incompatible with Catholic, biblical, and indeed natural law understandings of the dignity of every human life.
Why was it important that the bishops be proactive with the president, issue this statement as soon as they did?
The statement was the product of a working group of senior bishops that was set up after their bishops' annual meeting in November. They recognized in November that this inflection point that I described a moment ago is real. The working group suggested, among other things, a statement about the situation, and Archbishop Gomez decided to issue that statement on the day of the inauguration.
Do we know why the Vatican halted the distribution of that statement?
Well, it didn't halt it. It delayed it. There's a little bit of confusion on this, Todd. They may have originally tried to halt it, and that just wasn't going to happen. The charitable interpretation of why they tried to delay it, it was originally scheduled to be released at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, was that they wanted the Pope to have the first Catholic comment on the new administration after the president had been inaugurated. So the Pope's statement was issued at about 12:13 p.m. on Wednesday, and Archbishop Gomez's at about 12:24 p.m. So the proprieties of timing were observed there.
Some American bishops have suggested that Archbishop Gomez was acting on his own, so to speak. Is that true?
No, it's not true. And the bishops who are saying that are very much outliers within the Bishops' Conference. They are a distinct, small minority.
You say that the bishops can no longer maintain the facade of episcopal unity. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think for really the 50 years, almost 50 years, that this argument has been going on about how do you deal with Catholic public officials who are manifestly not living in full communion with the Church has been controverted within the body of bishops. And an appeal to unity has been made. You know, let's not display a divided body before the country. Well, as I said in one of the columns you mentioned, I think a critical mass of bishops have now understood that speaking the truth is more important than maintaining what everyone has known for a very long time is a false facade of unity. They are not united on this, although I think those who continue to want to take an accommodationist approach are now more and more in a very distinct minority. So the majority who understand that they have a responsibility before God to deal with this inflection point firmly are going to move forward and do exactly that.
Finally, then, how would you summarize the appeal that all faithful Catholics in America should be making to President Biden now?
I think we should assure him of our prayers. That's our first responsibility to a brother in Christ. I think we should urge him to heed the gospel and the teaching of the Church on the dignity of every human life from conception until natural death. That ought to be an appeal to the kinder and gentler side of his character, because that's really what we're talking about here. These are not political questions. They are questions of biblical and Christian understanding of the nature of the human person. And you cannot, at the same time, say, I believe what the Bible and great tradition Christianity and the Catholic Church teach about the dignity of every human life and support the abortion license defined by Roe versus Wade. Those are simply incompatible statements.
George Weigel is Distinguished Senior Fellow and William E. Simon Chair in Catholic Studies for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's author of recent columns titled President Biden and a Catholic Inflection Point and Archbishop Jose Gomez, A Profile in Episcopal Courage. You'll find links to these columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. George, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson going back to the Old Testament. She has a book named after her, telling her story, Old Testament Matriarch Ruth. You could win recordings of all 10 Making the Case conferences and recordings of more than 50 hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Here's how. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts. Copy and paste the text of your review and send it to talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the winners on February 1st. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts. And send your review to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Thus, Martin Luther explains the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This month's issue of the Lutheran Witness takes up these topics and discusses homosexuality, transgenderism, and our own struggle to live a chaste and decent life. Pick up your copy today of the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.